Hi there. This is Sound Healing Radio with David Gibson, and our guest today is Randy Masters. Hi, Randy.
Hey, David. All right. Way we go.
Yeah, our show today is on the solfeggio frequencies. So I was thinking, what would be a good intention? Maybe that everybody finds the exact frequency they need for whatever they need to go to the next level.
That certainly is a possibility. Whether those frequencies are found within the solfeggio or other things, you're meaning somehow in life they're finding the right frequencies for them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I also like to intend to just clarify things around the solfeggio, because there's lots of talk and lots of noise and misconceptions and various things going on. And I think this would be a good way to maybe set some of the record straighter for people to understand what this is all about.
Cool. Great. Perfect. So before we get started, I want to mention a few things that are happening at the school here. We just finished up our summer intensive, but we have another one starting August 4th through the 16th. And so it's about 2 weeks, and it's 10 to 9:30 every day. We've been doing this about 6 years, and we haven't killed off anybody yet, because it's just, it's intensive, 10 to 9:30, but oh my God, this group that we just had, oh my God, a bunch of love buckets, and we're just in the zone. It's like really, really cool. And so that's August 4th to the 16th. Our next full semester for the Sound Healing Certificate Program, the three-month semester, starts on September 3rd and goes to the middle of December. That's also the first semester of the associate degree program, if you wanted to continue, and that's here in San Francisco. We also have the exact same program online that you can do, and it works really well online. I mean, Randy does a lot of classes online, and we get really high.
Yeah, I love it. I have had a great time with the online classes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think, I don't like to do online classes, but it is definitely better here to be in the electromagnetic field of a person's heart. But, a lot of people, there's just no way to be here. I mean, you can't afford it, and you have to stay here and stuff. So it's really effective. So that's starting. The next start time is July 18th, if you want to jump in then. Or we start about every couple of weeks. And that's like Tuesday and Thursday nights, and then Saturday mornings. That's on the San Francisco time, of course. And if you can't make those times, you can also watch videos of the classes as well. Or you can do a combination. If you miss a class, you can just watch the video that way. So that's the sound healing programs. We also have the audio recording program. On this Monday, we have a six-week version starting, which is audio recording and production from a sound healing perspective. And it's really about how to use audio equipment to affect people in a much deeper way, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And that's here at the Institute, but we do that online as well. And it works really well online, because I've got Pro Tools wired into the program that's similar to Skype, so that you can actually see my screen and you can hear what I'm doing with the mixing equipment with the Pro Tools. So it's actually really effective. We can even look at your screen and see what you've done, and so it works really well. The full program, three-month program, starts in September also, if you can't make it on Monday. We also have some events coming up. We've got we've got the concert tonight with Karma Moffat. If you're in the area, come on down at 7 o'clock. We've got a Tibetan bowl concert. And then we've got, an open house on Sunday, June 30th, which is just a week from tomorrow, from 1 to 6 p.m. And we do a lot of meditations on sound. We go through how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We put people on the sound tables. We play with the bowls we have. And it's really a fun experience. Even if you're not interested in classes, just come for the meditations. We get really high there, really high and really still. We also have some other interesting classes coming up that are in the second semester that you could join in. We have the sound and acupuncture class, which is a class about how to use tuning forks on acupuncture points. And we have an acupuncturist that's going to explain the whole acupuncture system and all the different points and how you might use tuning forks. And that's on July 2nd, July 9th, and 16th. It's three Tuesdays before, starting on July 2nd. We also have a class with Rabbi Stephen Fizdale. He's going to be doing a class on sound, consciousness, and the Kabbalah. Fizdale is one of the top masters of the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. And he shows how it creates different states of consciousness. I mean, the basic concept of consciousness based on the Tree of Life, and how you use the Tree of Life to do healing, and how sound and color even fit into all the sephirot of the Tree of Life within the Kabbalah. It's a very, very cool class. That's here at the Institute. We just had it online, so we do have a video of it online as well. So, let's see, that's those classes. We also still have the store here. We've got all kinds. We've got 50 crystal bowls. We've got a lot of the crystal bowls online, so you can listen to them. We have Tibetan bowls. We got tingshas. We got crystals. We got didgeridoos. I mean, a full range of different technologies as well that will take you into really high states of consciousness. And we're still doing all the treatments here, and we do a lot of the treatments online. You want to find your soul note? We can intuitively look at you on Skype and see your frequency and then send you a CD in that key. We also do other treatments as well online. You can check it all out at soundhealingcenter.com. soundhealingcenter.com.
And you got the tuning forks too, and the ones we're talking about today can be gotten there.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, we have a full range of tuning forks here, and you can also get these tuning forks online. So a lot of the frequencies we're going to be talking about, Randy actually makes all the tuning forks, and so you can get the Solfeggio set from at the store as well. You can find the store at soundhealingcenter.com, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. Or call me at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2486. Okay. Thanks. So, you know, this whole thing about Solfeggio, it's bizarre how much confusion is out there. I was confused. I've been doing these classes for ages, and I was completely confused about the basis of these frequencies. I can tell you what I thought is, you know, a lot of people, if you go onto YouTube, I mean, there's like 100 or 200 videos that use the frequencies of Solfeggio and a lot of people are getting some really amazing experiences, and a lot of people are having complete transformative experiences with these frequencies. They're frequencies, right, that are pure frequencies that are not your normal frequencies that you would find in a tuning system or in a scale, right? But this is the story that I used to think. You know, I mean, some people say that this is what started Gregorian chant. There was this guy named Father Guido back in this 1100, and he actually invented the bass clef, and he came up with these frequencies and got Gregorian chant. For years, you know, that's what I thought was the deal. And so I thought, okay, this guy must have really been tuned in. But there's also the other aspect I know about, that if you add up numerologically any of the Solfeggio frequency numbers, they all add up to 3, 6, or 9. So 528 hertz is 5 plus 2 is 7, 7 plus 8 is 15, 1 plus 5 is a 6. So that number 528 is numerologically a 6. So all of them add up to a 3, 6, or 9. And so I've been thinking, wow, this is amazing that somebody, that when we don't even have tone generators to be able to tune into specific frequencies, that Father Guido was able to download this. And that's what I've been going on. And then I talked to Randy, and I find out this is a complete illusion. This is wrong. It's not even close to the truth of what happened. And there's so much, it's bizarre that every person you talk to about these frequencies doesn't really have it clear. And I always believe that it's that when you get in alignment with reality, things work better. You know, when there's an illusion anyway, but still, there are certain laws of reality that when you get in alignment with them, things, at least when it's not completely just wrong, you know. So tell us, what is the deal with these frequencies, Randy?
You may have to interrupt me. I have a lot of momentum on this because I've been wanting to set a lot of these records and straight and dispel some of the cultural myths and absolute disinformation and erroneous claims and various things. The bottom line is the set of numbers that they've been calling the sacred solfeggio, and I'm going to get back to all that definition and everything. They're numbers, and Joseph Paleo discovered them in doing work on the Bible, in certain chapters in the Bible, and finding a whole line will come to 396, and the next line will add up to 417, and there was a pattern that originally had six numbers in it, which I'll go back to.
Wait a second. When you say he found it in the Bible, now, are you changing the letters in the Bible to Hebrew, using the Hebrew letters that have numbers assigned to them?
Well, he did. He did that, but I did it with him and spent a week with him going over all this stuff when it was early discovered. And in English. In English, the alphabet, that the real Bible code alphabet for the English language is not 1 through 26, where A is a 1 and 26 is a Z. You number 1 through 9 for the first 9 letters. The second 9 letters are going to be the next group of 9, and then a 1 through 8. So actually the frequency for a Z is an 8 and not the number 26. Well, 26 also reduces to an 8, but that's interesting.
So where did
and so that is a real Bible code way of using the English language, even though it came along later. It's a spiritual language, and that's a whole discussion in itself of how that works. And he originally discovered it, but since then,
I'm sorry. Just a second, Randy.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm still not real clear on this. So he discovered the system for changing the letters to numbers. Are you saying?
No, but that is the number. And you know, there's different kinds of numerology in different languages, and certainly the Greek has been known and is heavily published. The numerical equivalent of every letter in the Greek alphabet, every letter in the Hebrew alphabet. But in the English language, because of stuff that's been introduced through numerology, there's a form of numerology that goes 1 through 26, and that is not the number scheme that's used for the Bible.
So did the one for the Bible come from Greece?
No. That number scheme, it applies the same principles, but it's a completely different one.
Where did it come from?
The number values in Greek are different than the ones in Hebrew and are different than in English.
So it would be from the people who downloaded the Bible in the first place? That's where the number system came from?
It's way back in history, yeah. Even before once the English language got created, there's a very esoteric side of the English language that's also encoded in the early Webster's dictionaries until just a few years ago when they dumbed down the dictionaries and took them out and replaced them with dictionaries with missing information. And so once the English language got created, and it got created for a spiritual purpose, which we can mention somewhere in here if we need to, then the proper alphanumerics or gematria for the English language was established in such a way that then when you read the Bible in English, you can still get correct number codes out of the Bible if you do the right alphanumeric, and what I mean by that is alphabet associated with number correspondences.
You know, before we continue, there's one really interesting thing that I've told you about, where this the rabbi that's doing the workshop here, he actually used the Hebrew numbers in a couple of the sections of the Bible, one of Psalms, the Psalms, a Psalm section, and he actually then created a whole song, and then I took that song and actually visualized different spheres for each of the notes of the song and put it into my virtual mixer, and so you could look at it in 3D with 3D glasses as each sphere would flash with each note of the song, and people would watch it and go into to like altered states.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I use the Hebrew Kabbalah for creating a whole set of tuning forks based on the numbers in the Tree of Life, again, the alphanumerics. And I use the actual Kabbalistic numbers for all of that, so that Kingdom Malkuth is 496. So I'm using the exact Kabbalistic numbers for that. But that was from the Hebrew language, not from the English language. The Bible was set up as a holographic communication, and even though it's been edited severely and all kinds of things have happened, certain number codes come out of it. And then they do in English as well. So,
do you know what sections?
Pardon me.
Do you know what sections in the Bible?
I do. I don't have that part of my notes here, but I could. You know, I have all of the Joseph's notes on exactly beat by beat how he figured all of this out. And he gave me copies of it when we got together before he died. And in fact, he tracked me down as a number guy and flew me up to his place in Idaho to actually get into this, because I discovered there were 12 more notes and making a total of 18, and he only had 6. And so we spent a week, you know, day and night working with all of this stuff. And
I'm still a little confused. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm a little confused here. So how did he get, it's so cool because I don't think very many people could actually get a real answer out of, and it's so cool to be able to, since you really actually worked on this, and know how he did it. So if there's only, if you took like a section of the Bible, there would be, you know, even one paragraph would be like many different numbers, and it wouldn't be.
You take it one line at a time, and then within that you have each word, and so for a certain line is a combination of words, and each word will have a number, and then all of them will all break down to 1 through 9 with no zeros used whatsoever. So then one of the lines, and he did it in Genesis and he did it in Psalms originally, two different passages, one whole line will be the number 3. The next line will come to the number 9, and the next line will come to, let's say, the number 6. Then the next one after that, it was 417, and then 528, and then 639, 741, and 852. Now, that's 6 different numbers, each 3 digits long. That pattern kept repeating in the areas of the Bible he was looking at, with only 6 numbers. And so he figured the Creator had 6 days. Now, this could be considered an erroneous assumption here. He considered that the Creator had 6 days of rest, and therefore there's only going to be 6 numbers, and the Creator rested on the 7th day, okay? And I want to get back to that. And also, back in the Gregorian times, when the real solfeggio was created in the 8th century, the real Western solfeggio, in other words, in Europe, not the one from India, because that goes back thousands of years, about 10,000 years. Anyway, they had a lot of 6-note scales in the Gregorian music, and in that time, in the Renaissance period of time, a lot of things were done without a full 7-note scale, let's say, and it was bigger than a pentatonic scale, so they had a lot of what you call hexatonic or 6-note scales. So you can kind of assume, since that was going on, a supremacy of this number 6. However,
But just so people aren't confused, when you say the solfeggio back in the 800, this is a completely different solfeggio than
right.
what we're talking about.
The syllables were the same, but the notes and the scales were different.
Because the solfeggio back then has a different meaning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you about those and what that is. But the syllables were the same, but they were not associated with the this number code that Pleyel came up with. And I want to,
okay.
Because that does not form a coherent musical scale that people in any cultures in the world sang to. Unless,
one more time, when did Pleyel come up with this?
Oh, it was about 12 years ago.
Okay.
And then
really
his work
that.
Got no, published
really
in a book that Leonard Horowitz wrote called Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse, which is mostly Pleyel's knowledge throughout the book. And there was a whole chapter in there about this solfeggio, and that's what started all of this.
Okay.
And then
cool. So it's not
Pleyel,
really ancient at all, really.
No.
Other than it came from the Bible.
No, and it's not a coherent scale that anybody would have made coherent songs with. It's, you know, the tuning is just totally weird. There's two coherent perfect fourth intervals, 4/3, two pairs of them in the original six notes. All the rest of the intervals, nobody's going to get up and sing without having a pitch to sing along with. They wouldn't even be able to sing those pitches without singing along with an instrument that was providing it, or bells or something like that, because the intervals are so wild. I mean, they just didn't do it. And I studied all these cultures throughout history, all the different musical cultures and tuning systems, and there's nothing like those original six solfeggios anywhere in the world.
So it has nothing to do with Gregorian chant.
Exactly. Other than there could be a possibility that they may have tuned some gongs or the organ or some little instrument to some different frequencies, played a frequency, and then had somebody sing something. But they wouldn't be singing all those songs to make up the melody. It doesn't work that way.
Uh-huh.
The scale is just really strange. And then when I expanded it to the 18-tone full version of it, there's a lot more scale possibilities, and yet they're still not in the simple Gregorian modes. We're all sung in Pythagorean and just intonation, simple ratios that anybody could sing with good pitch, that could learn to sing perfect fourths, perfect fifths, 9/8 or 10/9, whole step, major thirds of two different sizes, and simple basic intervals with no accompaniment instrumentally, and the natural ear and the natural acoustics, they could just sing these things, sing in tune, and not have to have a pitch reference. And so it was all done with simple scales, not done with some real hybrid intellectual scale in a way that this solfeggio would be.
So
now, this does not deny all the amazing things that are happening with people playing with things tuned to the solfeggio as frequencies. Eileen McCusick almost exclusively uses solfeggio tones for her whole body of sound work using tuning forks. And a lot of other people have been doing it. David Holtz has a whole book and videos all based on only the original six tones and different octaves of them. And they have adapted and gone out and taught it. And then a lot of people are having all these different meanings of what they think things mean, like 528 for love and a whole bunch of stuff, which I want to get
back
to.
Where did those meanings come from? Because I see those around that, you know, they have all these different meanings for each of the frequencies. Where did those come
from? Well, there are
certain
translations from the Latin of the original source of the writing that all of the solfeggios were based on and where that came from. And when you look in the Bible, I mean, even in the dictionary, at the different meanings of those Latin words, there were also hidden definitions in the Bible, in the dictionary, hidden entries, they call them, and those have been taken out of the dumbed-down dictionaries that exist now. But it's all full of different things in Latin, and then people started construing that certain note would relieve grief, and they have spun, in my opinion, out of this hymn to St. John the Baptist, that where all of this stuff came from originally, that was by Paul the Deacon back in the 8th century. Now, there were 19 verses in this particular hymn, and all this solfeggio stuff is only dealing with the first verse. And what's also interesting is the first verse would contain a seventh note of the scale, or the letter C, S-I.
So the first verse of what?
It actually contained not six different notes, but seven.
What verse? What verse are we talking about?
The first verse of St. John the Baptist, written by Paul the Deacon in the 18th century. And it'll start out, ut queant laxis, then resonare fibres, mira gestorum.
So I'm really confused here. I'm sorry. So it sounds like what you're saying is the meaning somehow got adapted from the 800s to this system that just happened, that came about only 12 years ago, somehow?
Well, they have interpolated and added additional meanings and interpretations and spun off on something that is not the original Gregorian context. What came out of it, as far as any real solfeggio, is this hymn was used by Guido d'Arezzo to establish syllables so that any of the monks and people could learn to sing songs and scales using different syllables. That's where the whole
nothing to do with frequencies.
La si do comes from.
Right, had nothing to do with frequencies. Right,
no,
at that point,
zero
right.
to do with frequencies. It all had to do with singing the different intervals. So, the first two letters in each phrase, like ut queant laxis, that's one phrase, two words. Ut became do in Latin. That later got changed to do. The next phrase is resonare fibres. Re for resonare became re, the second note of the scale. Mira gestorum, mi for mira became me. And famuli tuorum, fa, became fa, or the fourth note of the scale. Solve pollute, S-O-L, was for the fifth note of the scale. And labii reatum became la. Now, that's as far as pairing it that Puleo did. But there's one more line in the whole first paragraph, and it's Sancte Iohannis, which adds a seventh tone that was not in the pattern, the numerical pattern, that Joseph Puleo uncovered from the Bible. So I looked at the pattern. I went over every little detail of it with him, and it is a real pattern. And the part where he discovered the pattern was a six-number repeating scheme that had the original six solfeggios in it. But if you go back to the hymn of St. John the Baptist, the seventh letter, which would make a seventh note of the scale, was in the original, and that got skipped, and that's very, very interesting. So basically what Puleo uncovered was a number scheme, and nowhere does it say that these are sound frequencies anywhere in the Bible. It's not about that. It's a number scheme. The Bible is loaded, completely covered with number schemes, as are most of the sacred texts. It's a number scheme. It's not frequency. So I was one of the first people to make tuning forks and wind chimes with these frequencies when I first found out about it, and got sets of them even to Joseph. We're adapting the frequency, but it's a number pattern. It could be all kinds of things. Like, for instance, the number 528 in light as nanometers is the frequency for middle true green, 528 nanometers. So there's a use of the number, but not as a sound frequency, just to give you an idea of that.
Uh-huh. You want to hear can we hear 528?
Yeah, I can get it out here.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of those tones here. And here's the 528, and I'm going to strike it on something here for a moment. Let's see if it'll come through the phone. Could you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it really well.
Oh, great, great, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know, there's a whole myth going around about 528 being the note of love, which I'm saying is not accurate.
By the way, it was 5:28 p.m. when you played that.
Oh, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It was, yeah. Exactly 5:28 p.m. when you just played that note.
Yeah, that's great.
Where we are.
Yeah, well, we're in synchronicity here.
There we go.
Now, the other thing here is important is that, that number has sacred meanings. In Greek, the phrase the key, K-E-Y, the key, translates to the number 528. It's also a number that's harmonious with the Earth's measurements. There's 5,280 feet in the mile, in the ancient megalithic mile, by the way. That's not a modern number for the mile, but it's still used today. And there's 7,920 average miles at the equator in the Earth for the diameter of the Earth at the equator. So 7,920 divided by 5,280 is a perfect fifth, 3 over 2. And another one of the solfeggio frequencies, 396, you know, is a tenth of the radius. I mean, so 3,960 miles in the radius of the Earth at the equator. Divide that by 10, you have 396. So 528 divided by 396 is a perfect fourth, interval 4 over 3. And those were intervals that they sang in the Gregorian time. That's one of the pairs that comes out of the original six solfeggio, and that same interval exists between 852 and 639. So there's two perfect fourth pairs. But though you don't put all four of those notes together in a song and sing the song.
Well, you know,
you're like in different tuning systems completely, governed
David
by different prime numbers and a whole bunch of different things. So the 528 and the 396, those are completely great and can be sung. What I did, I had crystal bowls tuned to this and bells and gongs, and when I co-produced with Jan Sircone her recording As Above, So Below, her CD, she sang the original Ut Quiant Laxus Gregorian hymn, and she sang it over a drone of 528s and 396s and a 264 C and a 198 G. So I had a bunch of perfect fifths and perfect fourths only from those original two of those original six what they call solfeggios, the 528 and the 396. And she sang the whole melody that's in a particular mode, and a minor mode, and it perfectly fits over that drone. But no other notes in those original six solfeggios could have been put into that melody and sung coherently. The tuning would be bizarre.
Right. A lot of people think that you can just sing or make a song or tune your instrument to all the solfeggio frequencies and you can play them together. But there's only like a couple of pairs that work together at all, and it just sounds really dissonant and horrible. You know, David Hulse, I mean, he is so funny because he just taught a class here online just last week. And he said, you know, it was the way he started, he said, well, you know, we've come to believe that dissonance is really some of the best thing you can use on the body because it helps break up stuck energy. And
sometimes it does, but you know.
Yeah, and that's right. Sometimes it really does, but I think that's not. I think that's, you know, there's a lot to be said for harmony as well. And
absolutely.
And now
these old tuning systems were beautiful, interesting melodies and modal melodies and melodies in a scale and simple tuning systems, and they wouldn't sing these other intervals. They're just completely off.
Right, right.
And you can't tune the guitar to that. Really, because the frets on the guitar are equal tempered placed, and if you play a high C on a six string guitar, eighth fret, you can put a 528 hertz there, and when you do, the A will basically be 444. So you've only got one solfeggio note on the whole guitar. Now, if you play harmonics or tune the open strings right, you can, even with the equal-tempered guitar, end up getting the 396 G, you know, in there as a harmonic, but not necessarily fretted. So you, on equal-tempered guitars, you can pick one note as a reference, and then the rest of all the tuning is going to be equal-tempered intervals based on whatever note you want, but one single note. You can't, you know, if you tuned a bunch of open strings on a guitar to the different solfeggios, you know, you're going to get some pretty bizarre intervals going up and down the frets. You're not going to have a coherent tuning system like that.
Now, there's also, we just had a class with Ashira, and she went into this whole thing about where she drew a picture of all the numbers from 1 to, I think, 1 to 24 and in a circle. And then from 25 was on top of the 1, I guess, and it kept going in another circle from 25 up to 20.
Was that for plotting the prime numbers according to Peter Plata?
Yes, yes. And that, and when you map it all out, all of the prime numbers, which are the solfeggio the ones that add up to what, 3, 6, and 9, or no, ones that
none of those are prime. Only 3 is a prime number. 6 is not. Neither is 9.
Okay, so prime numbers are the ones that can't be divided by anything, right?
Right, except themselves and 1. That's it. Right.
Okay, themselves and 1.
In the solfeggios. Oh, go ahead.
So basically, when she mapped it, all the numbers out in this circle, then all of the prime numbers fell within a cross from left to right and up and down. And then she showed, like, throughout history, how, and it's not just a normal cross, it's a cross that's got a little flange at the end of each of the parts of the cross. And it's not like, Christ on the cross, it's like a perfect height and width are exact same, and the cross crosses right in the middle of the cross. And
yeah,
so she showed these images of this cross from the beginning of time throughout all cultures, and said that, you know, look, here's the solfeggio layout in all of history.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. And then she said these prime number, or this whole layout that adds up to 3, 6, 9, I guess, is also in, I forget whether she said it's in the DNA or in cells, but she says that there's some people that are saying this whole pattern is a whole nother, like, system, kind of like the Fibonacci.
Yeah, it's different than that. Yeah, it is. And there's even some Fibonacci-like ratios found within this, what they call solfeggio. So it's a basic bottom line here for everybody listening is it's a sacred number pattern. It has meaning in a lot of categories of science and life and creation. But they're not sound frequencies, but they could be made into sound frequencies, and they could be used in a number of different ways with up to profound, even maybe miraculous results, using them as sound frequencies. But that is not where they originated. It's just been adapted to sound. And my bottom line statement is I wish they would stop calling this solfeggio. The original solfeggio. The original solfeggio was not frequencies, but syllables taken out of that particular hymn that I'm talking about.
Got it.
Further, this is what, Guido d'Arezzo was doing. Here's the next edition in history back in the early times of the solfeggio. So now we're going to go up, let's say, a major scale or something, and we start with do for, let's say, it's C. So I'll do this with a C major scale just to make it easy for everybody. So do was from dominus, which means Lord or absolute, dominus.
Is that where the meaning came from, you're saying?
That's where the do comes from. Originally it was ut, from the ut quae on laxus, but then the next level came out of some other terms, which I'm going to give you. Then this is the music of the spheres version of the old solfeggios. The next one is, of course, Regina Coeli, which means queen of the heavens, and that stands for the moon, Regina. So re, for the second note of the scale, in this case maybe D in a C scale, Regina, re for Regina Coeli means queen of the heavens, stands for the moon. Okay, the next one, mi, came from microcosmos, means the small universe. In that case, they were referring that to the Earth. The Earth was considered the small universe. It was geocentric thinking back then. Then fa came from fata, F-A-T-A, which means fate, and that stood for the planets. And at that time, it was only the planets in our solar system. It's nothing beyond our solar system. Then sol, S-O-L, was for the sun, and that's our sun, not the great central sun, but our sun. Then the next one, la, for came from lactea, L-A-C-T-E-A. That stands for milk, and that stands for the Milky Way. Lactea was the Latin reference there for the Milky Way.
Then C, the Milky Way?
Because originally it was do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, C. It wasn't T, like T-I, like a lot of people use in the last couple hundred years. C came from cedar, S-I-D-E-R, cedar. That means stars, and that means all the galaxies. And then back to dominus to complete the scale, Lord, and again, the absolute. So in the beginning, the bottom of the scale, the absolute was the new beginning, and then and it goes up the scale. So do for dominus, C, Regina Coeli for re, D, microcosmos would be E in the C major scale, mi, fa, fata would be the note F, Sol would be the note G, the sun. Latia, law, would be the note A. Cedar would be the note B as in boy for stars, and then ending with C. So that's the one that most people around Europe and after got used to from the monks' original training with the different syllables to promote the singing of melodies with syllables. But if you go back to India, they have instead of calling it solfeggio, they call it sargam, S-A-R-G-A-M. Those are their syllables, sa, re, ga, ma, pa, da, ni, sa. And that goes back thousands of years before the Renaissance times, before Europe even got into this, intricate scales and intonations and microtones, and they had a whole vocal training. In fact, they wouldn't even let people play instrumental instruments until they could sing all the different ragas in tune. They had to be trained vocally, even to play the drums, you had to be able to sing. So it all started back in the Indian, the strict Indian training, learning to sing the Indian melodies with syllables. And all of that took place thousands of years before this rediscovery and claim that they have something new that went on in Europe. Just to set the record straight.
I got a couple of questions. First of all, let me ask one more again here. So it says that the 396, I've got a little chart up here, it says 396 is liberating guilt and fear. 417 is undoing situations and facilitating change. 528 is transformation and miracles, DNA repair. 639 is connecting relationships. And then 741 is awakening intuition. And 852 is returning to spiritual order. Who came up with this? Where did that come from?
Well, a lot of that stuff came out of the translating the Latin and getting certain phrases out of the original Latin from the hymn. And then this stuff has been interpolated and made up to be a musical system. Like, for instance, the 528 has never been proven to restore, 528 hertz has never been proven to restore DNA, broken DNA. That became a myth that got out there, and there's a lot behind how that got out and what it was based on, but the fact is, it's not true.
So all of these came from the solfège sounds, not from the frequencies.
Well,
re, mi, fa, sol, la.
Yeah, that stuff was not based on frequency. It's only phonetic sounds, vowel sounds, and phonetics.
Okay, finally got it.
That's it.
That's what actually came from the 800s then.
Right. That's when all that got created in Europe, you see.
Now you also, you said you came up with 12 more?
Okay, so this is where
it works.
How did
you come up with those?
If you look at the first six, what they called original solfeggios, let's say the first six tones that Pelayo got, there's three pairs of what you call musical anagrams. 396 and 639 are anagrams of the numbers 3, 6, and 9.
Oh, okay.
417 and 741 are anagrams of the numbers 1, 4, and 7.
Okay.
And 528 and 852 are anagrams of the numbers 2, 5, and 8. So you look down at the keypad, and the first vertical column from top to bottom is 147. The middle vertical column is 258, and the third vertical column is 369. So I wrote a
numeric
little
keypad.
Paper called the Keypad Codex. And what I found is that, see, for each one of those three numbers, there's actually six anagrams that are possible. There's six different scrambling the numbers you can get with 147. 147, 174, 417, 471, 714, and 741.
Keypad on your phone.
You see how that works?
Yeah, keypad on your phone or on a computer keyboard too.
Yeah, exactly.
I never realized
that. And so 258 has six, and 369 has six. So you add them up, and you've got a total of 18 different anagrams. And Judy Cole's guides around 10, 12 years ago said, here's the 18 numbers, and they gave her the 18 numbers, and they said the name of this collection of tones is called Zobet, Z-O-B-E-T, meaning in Hebrew, in the house of the Lord. And this is a very special collection of numbers, and we're going to call this Zobet. And then they said, call Randy Masters. So she didn't know who I was, never heard of me. So she tracked me down, and they said, well, he's your number guy. He knows how to translate this, all this stuff. Well, I had already been doing this stuff for Joseph Paleo, who also called me as a number guy to work on all of this. So for over 10 years, Judy and I have been exchanging information about these things, and Marco Rodan came along with a bunch. And, there's a lot of things going on, but it's dealing with numbers, not necessarily as hertz or sound frequencies, just as a number pattern. When I first heard about it, there's a company that put out an LED healing device that had flashing or continuous wave LED lights. Originally they were red, and then they had blue, white, and red LED lights, and you could turn to different settings and pulse the LEDs with the Paul Nogier tissue rejuvenation frequencies. At that time they put 7 of those in, and they took the original 6 solfeggio and put them in there, and you could turn it to a certain setting, and the lights in the LED device would pulse at the solfeggio rates. Now, there's a whole bunch of companies making LED healing devices that have the original 6 solfeggio notes programmed in, because they all felt that these were important notes to have, so they put them into their software to pulse the flashing rates of the LEDs in their machines.
So are the other 12 numbers also add up to 3, 6, and 9 as well?
Yeah, 100% of them all add up to 3, 6, and 9.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, remember, the Pythagoreans in their number world, in their number teaching, said the only real numbers are 3, 6, and 9. Yeah. And then there's another category where 8 is a very important kind of subcategory and has a whole lot of importance. But they placed their main emphasis on 3, 6, and 9. And even John Keeley, the interesting scientist that worked with free energy and all kinds of stuff, he said, if you understand 3, 6, and 9, you can understand the workings of the universe.
Huh.
So throughout esoteric circles and mystery schools, in teaching the real numerology that's involved in the sacred texts and such, 3, 6, and 9 always emerge as absolutely most important numbers in terms of when you reduce the numbers, which is what you started saying early on the call tonight. You know that they call it theosophical reduction when you take a number like 3, 6, and 9, and 3 and 6 is a 9, and then 9 and 9 is 18, and then 1 and 8 is a 9. So 3, 6, all of the anagrams of 3, 6, 9 break down to a 9.
So I got a question for you, and this is there's no way to know this the answer. The results that people are getting from using these frequencies individually, more so, but all, you know, sometimes combinations of the ones that actually work, or combinations of the ones that create dissonance to break things up.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you think? What is your personal feeling as far as the how well they work? Do you think, what percentage would you say that it is intention, because intention is huge. You know, if I came out and said these frequencies are really amazing, and I got enough people to say it, and everybody set the intention, or rather, let me do it another way. Say we just came up with any frequency, and if our intention is strong enough, that frequency is going to be really powerful if our intention is strong enough. So how much do you think it is the actual frequency, the actual numbers and frequencies manifested as frequencies, or the intention that people use with these?
Well, first I'd say intention is valuable, but it can also get overrated, and people think, well, they can just play any frequency and they'll have an intention and it'll override it. And I don't exactly agree with that, although there are times when things happen.
Okay.
I think what Spirit says is ask the prayer, ask Spirit, and then follow through with right action. Well, one form of right action is, like, if it's a tuning fork, is playing the right tuning fork for the right use, for the right person, at the right time, on the right place, on, around, or in, on their body, or in the room, or whatever. There's a whole bunch of qualities of what would be rightness. And I could pick up a different tuning fork that may also accomplish the same thing, but some of them are so dialed in that amazing things can happen because of the number code. When you play a certain tuning fork, it's like a key that undoes a lock, like the number 528 means the key.
Uh-huh.
Well, 527 doesn't fit the lock. You might stick the key in the hole, and it wiggles around, but it won't unlock the door. 528 it will unlock a certain door. And so what door these different frequencies unlock and how you use it, coupled with the intention and right timing and everything, to me is part of the bigger hologram of how it works.
Cool.
So
great.
I see
so
these.
Can we play with them? Because we only got about 5 minutes. Can we, like, play each one and have people tone along with it?
Yeah, it would take a little time.
You think it's better to just listen or have people tone with them?
I think I would only have time to do all 18 of these if I just play each one one
just
time
and
let it ring and then play the next one.
You think it's better to tone with it or just have them listen?
Well, they could tone later if they listen to it. I mean, it's great to tone with it, but we would never get them done in that time.
Okay, we can just do it quick.
Toning along with the forks is very powerful to synchronize with the notes. I think that's fantastic.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just play the six here real quick, just so people can hear them.
By the way, I have created music just with the solfeggio tones, but I did it on the harp, tuning Joel Andrews' harp to certain scales based out of the original 18 notes. And it was very, very interesting.
Cool.
I am not releasing that to the public, but it was a very interesting experience. Okay, here's the first six tones, one at a time.
Okay.
396 here. Five 528, which is the syllable mi. 396 was ut or do. 417 was re in these solfeggio associations. 528 is mi, mi. 639. Seven 741 is going to be sol. 852 is la, L-A. I'd like to play the one that's used for C. I think I was one of the first people to discover that, but SI, and that's the number 963. All right. Now, music can be made, different kinds of music, and these notes can be played in different octaves, but if you octavize it, the number is going to be different. It'll still be the same note, either up or down an octave, but the number will be different, and it's just like if you made a key that was a lot bigger and it was twice as big as the lock, it's not going to necessarily unlock the same door in consciousness that the original number does,
higher. It sounds like it's really hard to play chords with these. They don't work hardly at all. The two of them sometimes work together, but
yeah.
It's the way it really works is to play one note at a time And that way,
yeah,
you can, if you
those
go slowly,
those two fourths are the best intervals. The 528, 396 pair and the 852 and the 639 pair, the perfect fourths, are great. Most of the other ones, one at a time. There are pairs, but not chords. Now, when you take all 18 tones, you get a chromatic scale, and there's a missing C sharp, which you get through the difference tones. The missing C sharp, I found, is 135 hertz. And that is not one of these 18 solfeggio. It's like the missing 19th note. And then you have a note for every note of a chromatic scale, like on a piano, and there's multiple choices for some of them. There's two different Cs, for instance. There's two different D notes, 582 and 285 are two D notes. 174 is an F, and so is 693, and so is 714. That one's right in there in a low F sharp, high F. There's all their notes in the scale, and each one of these notes is controlled by different prime numbers that are higher than 5. And the prime number intelligence inside these 18 tones also gives insight into what the numerical intelligence inside the frequency is all about. And that's a whole realm in itself, breaking down the numbers not only to the theosophical reductions, but what are the prime numbers contained in it. Like, for instance, 369 contains a prime 41. 258 has a prime 43, just to give you an idea. 825 has an 11, as does 396 and 528.
I think my mind's going to explode
now. It's real wild.
Cool. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Randy. It's like so cool. I mean, it's just bizarre that, I mean, all the different stories I've heard, I was so confused. And this has really cleared up a lot for me. It's been really helpful. And also, it's, you know, I think a lot of people really underestimate the power of numbers, and especially since we're made up of them. You know, we're made up of all these different frequencies and relationships and number combinations.
Some of the ancients said the universe was made of number and mathematics.
Right.
You know, and I've also converted all these into wavelengths of light, which is another interesting part of it as well.
Cool. Well, thank you again. And so for our listeners, if you'd like, take this intention of finding just the right frequencies that you need to go to the next level. Take that energy into the rest of the weekend, into the rest of the
week. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Into the months ahead, into years ahead.
Yeah, this is a big territory. It may take many classes to cover all the nuances of this territory.
Cool. Thanks so much. Take care.